Mic turned off.
Yeah, it's on.
I think I'm gonna check my camera around because I was gonna be up there, but I think I'm gonna be down here today. So
make a little bit of a difference.
This doesn't work out. Let's look at Ephesians today for a minute. Ephesians, and I'll start with 5 and 18. Looking today, I had, I have the LG. I don't know who iPhone is. Does anybody know who iPhone is? iPhone, who are you? They're not going to say. All right. I had prepared to teach one thing today, depending on who came or whatever the Spirit says. Since I'm looking at who's here, I'll go this way. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 18, Paul in the book of Ephesians and all the books that he writes in Ephesians, Colossians. Can everybody hear me? Y'all can hear me okay? You good? Okay, good. In all the books that Paul writes, there to Elsie. Good morning, Elsie. Elsie, praise the Lord. It is in all the books that he writes, it is to... We use them to somehow, if I can say this right, we tend to use them on one hand to make a decision on whether people are saved or not saved. And saved meaning, you know, you believed on Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, since you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe in the one God and Jehovah God and the Holy Spirit. You believe in His death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, and the imparting of the Holy Spirit. And you believe in being filled with the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How many ways can I say? All these things, if you're saved, all these things apply.
Amen.
If you're saved, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're saved, you're filled with the Holy Ghost dwells in you, abides in you. If you're saved, then your name is written on high. If you're and it goes on and on. The things that God does. Then it depends on you how much you allow the Spirit to work in you, how close you come to God, how much you come to know God. God is faithful and has His faith is absolute, what He says He will do. But how much trust you have in God or faith you have in God depends on you. Depends on how willing you are to allow the influence of the Holy Spirit and the leading and guiding. When we say that someone is spiritual, that means that they allow the Spirit more influence and more. The Spirit has more to say in their life than it does in others. For lack of, I think that fits, doesn't it? Fit pretty good, Minister Conduct. And yeah, if we say that you are spiritual, that you really, as you grow more in the Spirit, it simply means that the Spirit has more influence in your life. You are more yielded to the Spirit. You obey the Holy Spirit. He leads you and guides you. And if you're more spiritual, you have a better life. You can't. It's difficult to claim that you're very spiritual in God and not have a good life.
Yes.
Because if you follow the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, you should have a good life. Now, who agrees with me up here that I can see? You know, it would really be nice. I'm not really hard on it, but it would be nice if people would put there, would allow us to see them so they can interact. But it's difficult to say to someone that you really have really followed the Holy Spirit and your life is kind of raggedy. Now, you notice, I didn't say it's not as difficult to say that you're saved, because there are a lot of saved people who could have a much better life if they would allow the Holy Spirit to work more in their life. And there are a lot more things that the Spirit would do in order to make your life be better and work changes. But the only resistance that you have to the Holy Spirit is because you hold more onto yourself.
Yes.
And the resistance to following the Spirit is that the resistance to the Spirit doesn't always mean that you fool the world. You can resist the leading guidance of the Holy Spirit because you're very religious, and you've learned some things along the way, and you've decided that you're not going to let anything change your mind, including the Holy Spirit. This is what we see when we look in the Bible with the Pharisees, and this is how Paul was until he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. He was convinced that he was right concerning his way in God, and the Spirit couldn't change him.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit, during the whole time Jesus is walking on the face of the earth as the Son of God in human, incarnate form. Carnate means human.
Yes.
In human form, and he's preaching and teaching and saying, I'm the Son of God, and of course, the Holy Ghost is bearing him witness with signs and wonders, and all the people who have the Holy Ghost know that he's the Son of God, and Paul just refuses to listen. And he's very religious in serving God.
Yes.
So, you can be someone, you could still hold on, as you grow in God. There are many things that, by following the Spirit, that I thought the Bible said or that was right in God, that I found out by following the Spirit, not right.
No.
Bible didn't say that.
Yes.
And God didn't strike me down with lightning bolts. and God's not going to, if God didn't take his salvation from me because of it, it just hindered me in growing more in the truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So there are many things that people learn during the years that, if you don't allow the Spirit to refresh and renew you, and you insist on holding on to them, and this again was, this was what, the Apostle Paul and Peter and all of them, the lesson that I really had was ready, thought the Lord was going to lead me in this morning, was talking about Peter going to Cornelius, and the first thing the Jewish leaders say to Peter when he goes back to meet James and all of them, and Thomas and all of them, these are Jesus believing people. James and all of them at this time, they're not the Pharisees or the Sadducees in Acts 10 to 11 chapter. These are Jesus believing people, and they say to Peter when he preached to Cornelius and Cornelius is saved, you went among men uncircumcised.
Yeah.
You aren't supposed to preach to them.
Yeah, that's right.
And these are Jesus people. And Peter has to explain to them how the Lord sent me to preach to these people. And some of them never really got over that.
Yeah.
Even though the Lord was, he said they're speaking in tongues just like us. They got the Holy Ghost just like us. And we can be like that so that we can look at other people. And if they don't dress like we do, which I'm getting further and further away from. I'm not saying I don't dress to come to the house of God. I'm not saying that everybody should not. But what I'm saying is you can't just write people off because they don't dress like you do.
That's right.
And there are many things in the Word of God. Among the saints, I still hear things from the saints that the Lord, if you read your Bible and you allow the Holy Ghost, He'll give you light. And I still hear saints say some things that really just aren't true, like I told you the other night. There's no place in the Bible anywhere where it says, in business be as men.
Mm-hmm.
And I just use that as an example because you hear it a lot. But it is not in the Word of God in any translation. In business, be as men. That's not there. You could find scriptures that would bring you to that conclusion, that will make that point, like not slothful in business, be fervent in, you know. You can do that, but the quotation in business being men, as men is not in the Bible. So, you know, there. And at times I still hear people say, I've heard people say, Noah preached the same sermon, it's going to rain for 120 years. That's absolutely not true. When God came to Noah, Noah's sons were already grown and married. And by the time the flood was over and they landed on land, Noah's son just turned 51 at that time. So the longest he could have been building on the ark was probably 20 years, maybe. We might give him 30, but it sure wasn't 120. And that won't stop you from being saved.
No, amen.
If you believe that, it will not hinder you from being saved. But it will hinder your growth. It will hinder your growth, it'll hinder your the trueness and rightness of what you preach and teach if you could have been preached that, because it's not true. So there's much about us when we talk about growing in the Lord and allowing the Holy Spirit to have its way. It's not just always because we have built up a lot of knowledge in the world. There is much religious knowledge that we have, that our traditions and customs. And if you want to hold on to them, as Paul says in Romans, I think the 9th chapter, whatever, what he's talking about, saved people, the people who believe in Christ now who come out of idolatry in Corinthians, and now they have Christ, and there's a lot of what they learned and their behavior that keeps them from the Lord. And he's also talking about the Jewish believers. Because when the Corinthian believers come out, which are Gentiles, and they eat certain meat to do certain things, Paul is saying, don't let that make you think they're not saved.
Yes.
They eat pork, but they're saved.
Yes.
They're not forbidden to eat. They eat pork, and Paul says, and now I know everybody can eat pork.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he says, you know, now I know, call not, you know, as he told Peter, don't call anything unclean that once you bless and sanctify. And Paul says,
yes.
So, and they, you know, when they offer up meat to idols and, you know, they roast it up and everything, then they take it and sell it.
Yeah.
And if you're in the marketplace and you have to eat a piece of it, he said, don't ask where it came from.
Yeah.
Just going about your business. So on one hand, you know, you can be held back by from growing in the Spirit because of things that you've learned in life. I tell you all the time, when I first came to the Lord, because it's a little bit different on this one probably stopped me from being saved. But I always maintained that you could drink a little liquor, because all my family, you know, never growing up, they were in church, they were deacons and everything. They always thought that, hey, you can drink a little liquor, ain't nothing wrong with, you know, the Bible said don't be take with too much wine or whatever. Well, I don't hold to that today because, one, because I know that drunkenness is a sin, and two, by leading of the Holy Spirit, I understand that it is enough trying to follow the Holy Spirit when you have your sober, right mind.
Yes.
And everything that you take, even prescription medications and things that you take, they take you to some degree out of your mind. They don't heal what's causing you pain. They just stop you from knowing that you're in pain.
Yes.
So obviously they dull the senses. So, you know, I know better than that now, but I used to maintain that and various other things. There are people who are in churches today who, you can say, well, if they believe that, they just ain't saved. Well, you know, unless you can peek into the book, you know, that say, well, Bishop, are you saying people do whatever they want and nobody can say there whether they're not saved or not? No, I'm not saying that. Some things people do, it's just obvious to them. They cannot have the Holy Ghost and do that.
Yeah.
There are some ways that people act in church that I say to myself, I'm not sure whether they're saved or not. They got all the motions.
Yeah.
You know, they do all the right things. And it would surprise you who's on my list. But they, and really it doesn't matter who's on my list, because the list of who's saved really is God's list.
God's list.
And say, well, you know, you can't be wrong about that. Yes, you can. You can think somebody's saved or not. God won't kick you out because of that mistake. And you can think somebody's not saved who is saved, and God won't hold that against you. No one, you know, I know that all of us are in the Holy, all of us who have the Holy Spirit, we're able to sense for the most part by the Spirit who is saved and who is not, but we're not always right. Because I've seen people call people out. I've done it myself. And maybe it's because of their facial expression and how they look and find out it's not really the case. And I've seen it on every level. And we're not lost because of that. We're trying to do the best we can, and sometimes we're not right. It's that simple. You're not always right. If you can be perfect in the Spirit like Jesus is, you can do all the miracles that Jesus did.
Yeah.
You'll have, you know, but we're trying to be as perfect as we can be. Yeah. We're not using that as an excuse to just be, you know, use the Word of God loosely and, you know, just do all kinds of things. Now, some people who are overzealous do. Some people are kind of reckless about what they say is God and is not. And they're very quick to say who's saved and who's not saved. So, you know, there are some people that, you know, if you see them and they're, you know, laying on the curb of the street drunk, I would venture to say that most of us can say they're probably not saved. You know, if you're going down the street and here's a woman or a man who are selling themselves into prostitution, yeah, I can kind of see how most of us would say ain't nothing saved about that. And there are many other examples that are not quite that explicit, but my point is, yeah, there are many things that you can see and say about somebody. Anyone in the world is saved and do that. You can hear some people, you can hear the profanity and things that come out of people's mouths, and you can say, no one in the world, they're saved. Yeah. Can't be, not using that language.
Right.
And I'll agree with you. But on the other hand, there are some things that we do that are customs and traditions, like the Jews. They would say, they said that Cornelius couldn't possibly be saved because he's uncircumcised.
Yeah.
And we'll say many things about people in the house of God can't be saved because they're dressed this way, because they're that. You know, I'll kind of leave that between them and God. And if I see their worship and how they come in and how they do whatever they do, then I'll leave it to God to get them to a point where they are maybe more led by the Spirit or more in the decorum of what we're used to or whatever. But I won't just write them off.
Right.
So getting back to spiritual growth. So when you're growing in the Spirit, one of the things that stops us from growing in the Spirit are the beliefs and things that we hold in our own mind. And all of them are, in and of themselves, are not terrible things. You know, you can. There's some of them are sin. Some of us don't grow in the Spirit because you're just stubborn. And when you learn something, you won't give it up. You're determined to make that be something, whether it is or not. Just like the Jews were determined to make everybody be under the law, whether, you know, even afterwards. So you know, we do what we have to do. But to be led by the Spirit means to grow more in the Spirit.
Yes.
To allow yourself to be led more by the Spirit.
Yes.
It's that simple. I want to look at 1 Corinthians. In Ephesians 5:18. Is that what I said?
Yes.
Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. 5:18. Speaking to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in fear of God. So he says to us, let me read a little bit further up. I want to go up to 14. Wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee the light, See then that thou walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And I like these verses because he says that among all of us who are being led by the Spirit, the Word of God, when you read the Word of God, it gives you the mind of the Spirit verbally.
Yes.
It is inspired Word of God, inspired by the Holy Ghost, written down physically by men, but it is the Word of God. And the Word of God, when you read it, and that's another thing, too, that you hear me say a lot about, because we need to do it. We need to read more of the Word of God. And we need to read more of the Word of God for ourselves. And stop always, you know, I'm not saying you don't have leaders and you don't, you know, just like I'm teaching now. I'm not saying that you don't have people helping you with the Word of God and you don't have leaders and you don't listen to other people preaching or anything else. I'm not saying that by any stretch of the imagination. But what I am saying is you still have to read the Word of God.
Yes.
You do. You need to, you know, when it really comes down to it, you need to get back in your Bible and you need to have read Genesis and you need to have read Exodus. Read Leviticus and Deuteronomy and don't be afraid to read Genesis unless someone takes you to Genesis. Yeah. Now I'm going to read Genesis 13, but I'm scared to read it. Then how will you know what we're talking about when in Hebrews and all those, when they make the examples with Moses and all that, how will you know?
Yes.
And when it talks about David's kingship and all this, and we're talking about, you know, now everybody's going to go read Nehemiah. But my God, I read that 40 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and I've read it many times since then. And not only have I read Nehemiah, but Ezra and Esther and Job and all the ones that go along with it. And this is, and now if you got saved yesterday, then yeah, I get that. But you know, you've been saved 15, 20 years by now. You should have read at least, I won't say you've necessarily read all the prophets in the Old Testament, but my God, you should have at least read all the historical books, all the way up to Psalms.
Yes.
And have some idea of what we're talking about, and eventually, at least when it's referenced in a different scripture, because by that you get to know God.
Yes.
And the one thing that increases your faith in God is the Word of God.
Amen.
It is the Word of God by the Spirit. So what about signs and wonders? Signs and wonders, that's the spiritual part. But the Word of God is what you must hear. In other words, in order to know God, that He does something. So He says in this, He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, I'm among all of us who are listening, redeeming the time does not mean trying to make up for lost time. You cannot, you know, people say, I need to make up for lost time. You can't make up for lost time.
Yeah.
When it's lost, it's just lost. What do you want me to tell you? You cannot, there's no such thing as making up for lost time. What you have to do now is redeeming the time means making the best of the time that you have available. Doing what you can to make the best of it this particular time. And using your time wisely and doing the will of God now. You know, like you can't go back. You cannot go back and do things over again. Make the most of every opportunity that you have to be in God. You can, you know, let's say I got saved today. I'm 70 years old, but, you know, of course, most people, they aren't saved by the time they're in their 40s and 50s. Every now and then, a person in their 50s and 60s will get saved, but usually, if you stayed in sin all those years, you might come back to God later on if you've been saved before. And this is not a rule, it's just an observation. But very few people actually, for the first time in their life, get saved at 65.
Yeah, that's true.
If they manage to live in sin until they're 65, the likelihood of them, and it is true, the likelihood of them being ever saved, it's not going to happen. The older you get, the less likely it is that you will ever be filled with the Spirit. If you resisted God, do you know how many times God has come to a person who's 65 years old?
Yeah.
Now, I didn't say, and I will never say, you can be 99 and be saved, and the Lord will save you. But you have to yield to God. And the older you get, the less yielded you are.
Yes.
Unless you're led by the Spirit. But the older you get, the more into yourself and what you know, and the more resistant you are to things from the outside. And that's for saved and unsaved. The older you get, the less likely you are to allow people to actually try to give you any help.
Yeah.
As far as things go, you know everything. You're irritated when somebody tries to tell you something new. You know, you're stuck in your way. I mean, it's difficult. To say nothing of less brain function and everything else physically, because we're on our way to glory.
Yes.
And that's just the reality. You know, we have no, if you feel the Holy Ghost, you keep the same, right? No, you don't.
No, you don't. No.
Old is old.
Yes.
These bodies are mortal.
Yes.
They are mortal. And unless God just gives you a miracle like he did Joshua and Moses, you know, it says that Moses still maintained everything he had until he was 120, but that's not necessarily us.
Yeah.
Might be a few. I think Mother Evangelist Watson is remarkably sharp in 94.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, she's sharper than a lot of people I know who are not 94.
Yeah.
But anyway, he says, redeeming the time, making the most of opportunities in God, whether you got saved today or whether you've been saved for 40 years. There's so much to be gained by being led by the Spirit. Until we have to understand what Paul says when he says, I have not apprehended or I have not arrived. I haven't gotten to the point or the culmination of getting as much of the Spirit or as much in the Word of God as there is to get.
Yes.
Although I've got a whole lot more than most people ever will. And yet there's so much more. There's such a great divide between where we are in our natural body, our natural state, even with our enlightened mind by the Spirit. And we have an enlightened mind by the Spirit, because when the Holy Ghost comes, he enlightens our mind as much as you will allow yourself to be enlightened. And I always put that in, because you will get no more from the Spirit than you will allow him to give you.
Yes.
You will get no more from the Spirit then you will allow him to give you. You won't even be saved and filled by the Holy Spirit unless you allow him to come in.
Yeah.
You will grow no more in God. You will have no more revelation than you will allow the Holy Spirit to give you. And if you insist on being like the Pharisees and the Jewish believers, we have the law of Moses. That's the end all to everything. We don't need nothing else. You'll be stopped just like that. If you insist, we've got the law, we've got the prophets, and we've got the covenants, and hey, that's everything, and we don't need nothing else, you will stop. There's nothing else the Holy Ghost can do, because he never works against your will. This is not, I'll throw this plug in, this is the danger of us, even in our church work, when we start adding a lot of laws and rules. The Holy Ghost does everything according to free will. When people are led by the Spirit, then the Holy Ghost, who's always right, he leads them in the right way. When we start adding to it, we make it mechanical, and we also make it earthly.
Yes.
The law of Moses was an earthly law. It was ordained by God. It was given, but it was given to them because they didn't have the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Yes.
Not that some people didn't have the Holy Ghost, but the majority of those who came out of Egypt, most of them, 98% of them, had left God and were living in sin. So very few of them, the Levites and a few others, were still holding on to God and worshiping God, but most of them weren't. So he had to give them a law.
Yeah.
We don't want to be like that. Redeeming the time. So when we, in God, redeeming the time, be not filled with wine where it's excess, but he writes in here, but redeeming the time, making the most of our... As we get an opportunity to worship God more, we grow in God worshiping more. As the Lord leads us and guides us to pray more, pray more. As the Lord leads us to worship, because everything you do in God comes with better life. You know, it causes your life to be enhanced and to be made better. God blesses. You don't always cry out to God and nothing happens in your life. When you read in Haggai, the problem that the people have when they say to God, they say, Lord, we're serving you, but really we're not doing too well. We're not getting many crops. We're not getting much. And Haggai comes to them and says, the Lord says to you, you know, you're planting a lot, but you're not getting much. And you're pressing vines and fruit, but you're not getting much. And when you do get something, you put the hole, you'll get holes in your pockets and I blow and it goes away. He says, because you won't obey.
Yeah.
He says, you won't obey. You know, you... If God isn't blessing you, it's because you're not doing something God wants done. If you're not growing in God, it's because you're not doing something God wants done. It It's not that you're not God's people like the people were in Haggai. You're probably not in sin, so your name's still written on high. Jesus comes back today, which would be nice. You'll go back with him.
Yeah.
But as far as living in the earth, your blessing is not as great as it should be. It's probably because you're not doing all you should do in God.
Yeah.
You've been waiting on God to move for a long time, and things haven't happened, or this keeps happening, or these things keep carrying, or whatever. Then you need to go to God. Draw near to God. Satisfy God. Do the will of God.
Yes.
It's worth giving at least a try.
Yes, it is.
You don't have anything to lose. So he tells him to Haggai. He says to them, he says, because you haven't taken care of, and in this case in Haggai, it was because they hadn't taken care of the house of God.
Oh, yes.
And they knew they were supposed to do it. It had been 15 years. They hadn't worked on it in 15 years. And Haggai says, you need to get back to doing, you know, the Lord says, you need to get back to building the house of God. And for us, there might be some things that you've been working on for 15 years. You haven't gotten back to yet. You're right where you were in God 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You have not grown from where you were in God 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Your spiritual walk has not gotten any better than it was 15 years ago. You don't know any more scriptures now than you knew 15 years ago. You haven't gotten any closer to God. If anything, you're not as close to God now as you were 15 years ago.
Yeah,
maybe now your life is, you know, you're not as faithful in prayer as you were 15 years ago. You don't fast like you did 15 years ago. Instead of going forward and redeeming the time, you're letting more and more of the time waste away.
Right.
The time that he's referring to when he talks about redeeming the time, he means redeeming the time in God, taking advantage of the opportunities you have in God, not only to do things in God and for God, but for God to bless you.
Amen.
Redeeming the time, being before the Lord, being more in God, allowing the Lord to work things out, allowing the Lord to bring in to you the things that need to be done. Redeeming the time, turning to God, making the most of the opportunities that you have in God. Taking more advantage of you need to give the Holy Spirit more of your thought life. I know that myself. I said that myself in the last few months or whatever. I need to give the Holy Spirit more of my thought life. More of my time needs to be concerned about the Word of God and allowing God to move. So he says in this, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then in Ephesians 5 and 17, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what God wants you to do. Don't just, you know, that's why I say, and I know people think that I'm trying to say something sarcastic or slam somebody, do whatever when I say this, but none of that is true. I'm being honest. In this day and time, we can read.
Yes. Amen.
We can read. Everybody yes. I'm looking at up here, they can read.
Read. Amen. Yes.
There's nobody up here who cannot read.
That's right.
And so he says in this, don't be thoughtless about how you worship God and what you're doing in God. He says, but you know, you need to know what the will of God is. And if you want to know the will of God, read the Word of God. I will be the first one to tell you, you can't believe every commentary that you read because different people see things in different light. That is true. And there's not a problem with how someone sees something if it doesn't impact directly salvation. In other words, different commentaries look at things from a different view. Well, I'm not saved by commentary. I'm saved by the Word of God. That doesn't stop me from trying to find, to get a good understanding of what the Word of God says.
Yes.
Like when I read in the Bible, it says redeeming the time. I look into another one. I want to see exactly what that means. It means take advantage of every opportunity that you have.
Yes.
And I was taught one time, and people still might be leaning on that. Redeeming the time because I was in the club. Redeeming the time because I was this and I was that. What you were is an old life. If any man be in Christ, you are a new creature. There's no reason to keep revisiting what you were. That's done. You don't even need to revisit what you were yesterday. That's done. You can't redeem what you did last week. If you slept in every day last week and didn't get any of the things done that you meant to get done, there is nothing you can do about it.
No.
It's the only thing, only difference is this week, don't sleep in every day and go do what you need to do.
Amen. Yeah.
You can only redeem time that you have in front of you. You can't redeem what's lost. You can't trade in what you wasted. Redeeming the time, he says in this. He says, for the, because the days are evil. In other words, he says, make good use of it while you can. He says, because if you don't take advantage of every opportunity, he says, you won't get anything done.
Yes.
You know, in these evil days, take the opportunity to be before God. Spend some time in God. These are hard times, they're difficult times. Give God some time. Put your time in God. Put the things in God you need to do. So God can bless you. As evil as the days are, you need to be as close to God as you can.
Amen. That's right.
You need to have as much time in God. With the way things are going right now, you really need to draw very close to God.
Amen.
They're bringing in refugees, I think, from Afghanistan or wherever. I have no problem with that. We always help people, whatever. But among them, I'm sure some of them, I'm not sure, but probably some of them are not good people.
Yeah.
Out of all of them, there's possibilities of them not good people. None of them are godly.
No.
Because they serve a God different than the God that we serve.
Yes. Amen.
So now is a good time to redeem the time and really put your time in God, whether you got saved yesterday or whether you've been saved for 30 years, which is another problem that we have. Those of us who have been saved a long time, and I've just said it earlier, but I'll say it again, we seem to sometimes think that we get to a point like we graduate, like, you know, it's like school. We graduated from high school. We graduated from college. We've got our master's. We've got our bachelor's. Our doctorate. We got all this. Hey, I'm educated enough. It's not like that in God.
Amen.
You can always grow in God.
Yeah.
Until you see Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Until you're glorified.
Yeah.
There's always more of the Holy Spirit you need. And every one of us, if you're going to grow in God and really redeem the time and make better use of the opportunities and do better tomorrow than you did today, then you need to be someone who the Holy Spirit can correct when He needs to.
Amen.
And you need to be someone who's willing to allow the Holy Spirit. It's like Paul said about Aquila and Priscilla with Apollos. The man already had the word of God. He was already preaching and teaching. And somebody said, well, he didn't have no Holy Ghost. Hey, he was winning people through Scripture. And there's no way you can do that without the Spirit. So I'm not worried about anybody on God. You can argue that to next year. You won't even argue with me because my mind's made up about that.
Amen.
But it said, and yet they took him and showed him a more excellent way.
Yeah.
And when they took him, he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And now he's really running for God. There's always an opportunity to have a more excellent way.
Yeah.
There's always, you never get to a point where you can't do things in God better. Now, in life, there are probably some things you can't do any better with. You know, I only have as much earthly education as I can get. I can't do any better than that. I probably can't do any better. My working years are over. I'm 7 years old. I'm too old to go back and start, you know, and join the military. That's done. But in God, God is the one thing that I can do better and better every day until I see Jesus.
Until I see Jesus, amen.
I'm not willing to let anybody just stop me in my tracks and say, hey, you know, you're not supposed to have revelation because you're in this position. You're not supposed to, stay behind the priest. Stay behind the priest. I am standing behind the priest, and his name is Jesus.
Jesus, amen.
My great high priest is Jesus. Stay behind the priest. Hey, look, I get your point, but don't tell me to stay behind the priest. In other words, and tell me not to learn the word of God.
Amen.
Telling me not to grow in the spirit. No, don't be afraid to let to ask God, Lord, give me more of your spirit. Lord, strengthen me with might by your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the reason being is because he says in this, he gives me, you know, the word of God gives me permission. He says, but be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. In other words, excess. And people preach this too. You know how you drink too, you know, don't be drunk with wine because you drink a little bit, you just drink too much. And then you'll be drunk or whatever. Excess doesn't mean that. Excess means that you have to live a life of excess means to live a worldly, sinful life.
Yeah.
To live in that, rich young of the prodigal son ran to excess. In other words, he went out to the world and started living wild and worldly.
Yeah.
And when it says be not drunk with wine, where is excess, it means don't give yourself over to for your problems, for the things that come in life. He says, don't be carried away with that. He says, because you'll give yourself over to excess. And excess means to the world, to the sin of it, to the debauchery of it, to the things that you ought not do. That's what excess is.
Yes.
Not just excessive drinking of wine so you'll be super drunk. Well, that'd be part of it.
Yeah.
But excess means, in the old English terms, it means that you have given yourself over to the world, over to the worldly pleasures. So basically what he's saying is, don't spend all your time in worldly pleasures and worldly desires and worldly thoughts and worldly ways and worldly habits and worldly everything. So, well, hey, I ain't got no problem here, preacher, because I'm saved, sanctified, full of Holy Ghost. I ain't got nothing on the world. Don't fool yourself.
Yeah.
You might not be running to bars and running to clubs, and you might not listen to worldly music. You might not do any of those things. But stubbornness is just as worldly as it gets.
Amen. Yes.
Obstinance is as worldly as it gets. Yes. Not only stubbornness worldly, it's sinful.
Yes.
Strife is as worldly as it gets. Everywhere you go, you know, there's an argument, variance, whispering. You just, you know, got to tune in on the latest gossip. There's so many of them that are in, let's say, call it saints.
Yes.
Not just Christians, saints.
Saints, yes.
We have gossiping saints. They can tell you all the latest, everything or whatever. That's excess. You're running to the world. Oh, Bishop Smith, that ain't no excess. Well, you can say what you want to, but I know what the word means.
Yes.
It means instead of trusting in God, you have your mind full of something else.
Yes.
Just like Pharisees. The Pharisees they were doing evil things, that's true, but they weren't supposed to be doing all those things.
Yes.
And yet they stubbornly would not believe Jesus.
Yeah.
They wouldn't follow Jesus. And then once they got Jesus, they still wouldn't believe that the Gentiles could be saved.
Amen.
They had, you know, they washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Ghost, got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and still didn't believe the Gentiles were supposed to be saved. My God, by the time you look at James and Thomas and all them, don't make this a disconnect. James and Thomas and all those people who were on the committee that they had at Jerusalem. This is not a Pharisean committee or a committee of the Sanhedrin with Caiaphas and Annas and all those. You're talking about the committee that came out of the day of Pentecost that were heading the church after Jesus, that were there when Jesus told them you will be filled with the Holy Ghost not many days hence, and that they were supposed to go out and be baptized. You're talking about blood-bought, baptized in the Holy Ghost, tongue-talking people. When you're talking about them.
Yeah, yeah.
And still they believed that the Gentiles could not be saved.
Yeah.
And told Peter, you went in among men and circumcised. You want to see it? I'll turn to it real quick. Look at Acts. Acts chapter 11. Because it was part of what I was going to teach this morning anyway. After Peter goes in and preaches to Cornelius and you know, two things happen there, and I'll probably catch it on Tuesday night. Two things happen there. What I was going to talk about this morning. One of them is when you seek after the Lord will lead you to somebody who will give you an answer. And this is how people are drawn to church, whether they know it or not. They're asking, Lord, I need help with this, and the Lord draws them. And then the other part of that is when the Lord draws someone, you need to give them the Word of God, which is what Peter does. But in Acts chapter 11. You see in 44, in 10 and 44, while Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 1, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea. All y'all got Acts chapter 11? Y'all got it yet? Still looking? Acts chapter 11? And you know, Acts chapter 11, and the apostles and brethren that were at Judea, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. These are Holy Ghost, baptized in the Holy Ghost, tongue-talking people.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision, Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-talking people, contended or argued with him, or talked about him, or rebuked him, contended with him, saying, thou wentest into men uncircumcised, they're not like us, and did eat with ate with them. Oh, God. Didn't eat with them, did he? Ate with them. Went in with men uncircumcised. And sin of all sins, ate with them. Church, these are not just church people. These are saints. Holy Ghost filled, Spirit filled, Baptist, fire baptized, tongue talking, day of Pentecost, saw Jesus rise up, sanctified folk. Say, you're not going to, I'm telling you, you can be as saved as you want to be and still hold things that are contrary to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You're as saved as you want to be, and you still have not allowed the Holy Spirit to make a change in you.
Yeah.
And Peter has to go through and tell them, well, the Lord showed me I need to go and preach to Cornelius. And then when they spoke in tongues, he says it down here. He says in 4, he rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded on that by order to them. And he told them all the things that happened. And he says in 15, I began to speak, and the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then I remember the word of the Lord in 16, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gifts as he did unto us, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was I that I could withstand God? So he goes in, but do you see their attitude? So, well, so a bishop, you know, we wouldn't be like that. Yeah, because you're reading it, but you are.
Yes.
We are.
We are.
We got a whole lot of that in us.
Yes.
Say, did that unsave them? No, because it didn't unsave them. But it hindered them.
Yeah.
And it kept them from going out. And now I will say it. And so Peter doesn't preach to as many people as Paul does.
Yeah.
Because Paul walks in this liberty that allows him. Let me see what was his attitude toward it. Well, he has this attitude. If you look in the let's look in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, I think chapter 9 is where I saw that. In about verse 9, someplace in there. And see what was his attitude toward it? If I can find it. This is 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. I'm almost done this morning. Let me see his attitude toward it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. And to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them under the law. And to them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law of God, but under the law of Christ. In other words, he says, I didn't become a sinner because I was with sinners. But I didn't tell the sinners that they couldn't come to church unless they wore a skirt.
Yeah.
Is his point. I didn't become a sinner to be with the sinners, but I didn't tell the sinners you can't eat pork.
Yeah.
They didn't have the law that says they couldn't eat pork, and I didn't tell them they couldn't eat pork.
Right, yeah.
And I didn't tell the sinners, I heard someone say the other day, we need to make a law that everybody start church at the same time. I said, please. You know, in other words, we would start at the same time anyway because they're different time zones. That's number one.
Yes.
But everybody said, Well, no, different people have different situations and circumstances. They start church when they do according to what the people can do. There's no need to start church at 5 o'clock in the morning if nobody's going to show up.
That's right.
You know, he says, as under the law, he says, I was never not, he says, to the people who were unlawful. I'm only referring to the people who were not under Moses' law.
Yes.
He says, I was always under the law of Christ. I was always in God.
Yes.
So he wants to make sure that nobody makes that mistake. To them that without the law, referring to the Mosaic law, without law, being not without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law, without Jewish law, without Mosaic law. To the weak I became I as weak. He didn't say I became weak, became I as weak. In other words, to the people who were really going through, who were down and who were destitute and who weren't, like us, he says, I didn't have a problem going on among the people who didn't have the clothes as nice as mine. We've done it. He says, I didn't worry about people who weren't on the same keel that I'm on and wasn't blessed like I'm blessed and were going through. He says, I became as weak. In other words, I can empathize with them. I didn't look at them and say, won't you get up? What's wrong with you? You ain't got no Holy Ghost. He says, no. He says, I could get in and understand with them and help them along and get them to do better. To the weak, I became as weak, not weak, as weak. In other words, I could see what they were going through and I could work with them. He says, whatever they were going through, he says, I could work it out that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men that I might by all men save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake that I might be a partaker therefore with you. In other words, He said, I don't have to become a drunk to win drunks. And I don't have to go to the bar to win drunks. And I don't have, he says, I can keep the law of God. He says, but I can speak to them because I understand why you were drunk. You're going through.
Yeah.
And I can say to you, but Jesus saves.
Amen.
If you will come to the Lord, He'll work things out.
Amen.
He says, I didn't walk by him. And here comes in, Jesus was talking about the Good Samaritan. He said, I didn't just walk by him and not shake their hand. I don't have anything to do with them and talk about them and hang going over that side of town. He says, I did whatever I needed to do with, and still under the law of Christ to win as many as I could.
Amen.
This was his whole point. So he says back in Ephesians. So when he says in this redeeming the time, Ephesians chapter 5. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. 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 Let your mind be filled with the Spirit. In other words, allow the Holy Spirit to flow over and govern your mind. Govern your likes and dislikes. A lot of people are drawn to people because they're like you are before the Holy Ghost gets to you. You like how they look.
Yeah.
And you're caught up in their charismatic ways and you like how they sound. And they just look so cool to you. Some people are drawn to people's money. Some people are drawn to people's status. One of the worst things I've noticed since I've been in the house of God is how many people are drawn to people's status.
Yes.
That's one of the ugliest things I've ever seen. When you're drawn to somebody's status, you like them because they're upper crust. I like that. I just like their style. What you really need to learn to like about people is their godliness.
Yes.
And how much they follow the Spirit. And what I'm looking for in people, I'm not looking at people. I'm not sitting in judgment of people of what they're. Class statuses of where they are in life. I'm looking at how much they follow the Holy Ghost. And I'm not looking at how much they follow the Holy Ghost out front.
Right.
I'm looking at how much they follow the Holy Ghost and can do how quickly and purely do they forgive.
Yes.
I'm not worried about anybody getting up in front of everybody and they always got to be saying, I forgave them. Why are you telling us that?
Yeah.
I'm not looking for people who are always talking about how meek they are or making allusion of how, in other words, I'm looking at how spiritual people are, because when Jesus is walking on earth, he doesn't say to them every time they say to me, well, look now, I'm God's son. Y'all got to hear me now, he lets them know that he's the son of God, but he never says it as it says, charity bondeth not itself. He's not arrogant about it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's, you know, the arrogance doesn't come through in the you know, the, as they say, big-headedness and, the exaltation.
Exaltation,
you know.
Yeah.
I was reading in, what book was I just reading recently? And I can't remember which one it is right now because I was reading it. And it was another one where the man of God, where the person who's writing went and fell down on his knees in front of the man of God to say something. And the man of God said immediately, "Get up. I'm not God."
Yeah, yeah.
I was just reading it the other day, and I said, "God, I hadn't seen that before." And he told him, "Get up. You know, I'm not God.
Yeah.
Don't look at me like I'm God. I'm just someone who has the word of God, but I'm not God."
Amen. Yeah.
You know, you need to stop. You need to stop very quickly and correct yourself when you start seeing people on earth and they get to a point where you just are a God concerning them. You need to reel yourself in.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't do that. You're hedging on the edge of idolatry. How about you think they call singers and all those people idols?
Idols, yes.
Because people worship them.
Yes.
And you need to catch yourself and say, "Well, so-and-so is a great man of God, or I enjoyed the word of God, and they really led by the Spirit." But you know, when you get to the point where you just swept away with them, you need to keep yourself in order. Don't do all this swooning and all this, you know, and that's, and I don't care who that is.
Yes, amen.
I know one thing. I know better than let anybody do it to me, because we're not going there. I am not God. I'm so glad for what I do have in God. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, for every advantage that I have, for all the things that have worked in life, when you're filled with the Spirit, you see God working in all of them.
Yes.
And your worship and your praise goes to God, and you're appreciative of people who allow the Lord to work in them.
Yes.
But you never let them come to the point where they move God.
Yes.
And you don't ever forget that if a miracle's worked, it was God.
Amen.
It was God. It's the Lord.
It's the Lord.
And you're glad that people avail themselves to God so that the Lord will work miracles, but it's God doing the miracle. It's always God doing the miracle. And it's always God doing the miracle by the grace of God.
Yes.
So what about the people? If they've allowed themselves to be used by the Spirit, then we thank God for them. But that only goes so far. It still goes with God. Listen, I hear people like to talk about Peter so bad. He's in the Bible for our example, but it is true. If you're going to use the example of Peter saying, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," and taking Jesus and getting ready to rebuke Jesus, get it right. If you're going to learn anything about that, then don't just learn about people, the people who are being rebuked. Learn about everybody. You could be used by God in one moment, but you still have that worldly nature.
Yes, yeah.
Don't just make it be Peter and people that you think are, "Oh, yeah, you know, they got the Spirit on it. Next moment they're out here." No, that's everybody.
Right, yes.
You might be used by God. That's good. But don't ever think because someone's used by God, they've all of a sudden become glorified.
Yeah.
When you read what Peter does, you need to be saying, "Well, I thank God for the saints, but I understand they are still human after all."
Right. Yeah, amen.
So that someone can't say, "Well, you know, so-and-so did such a, ain't no end in the world they could have done that. All that power they got, they ain't got as much power as Peter."
Amen.
Nobody can heal their shadow.
Yes.
So he said, "Well, who you knocking?" "I'm not knocking anyone. I'm trying to help us grow in the Spirit."
Amen.
I'm trying to get everybody to grow in the Spirit. Have more of the Holy Ghost. And you do that by coming to the reality of how the Spirit works in us, so you have more of the Holy Ghost working in you.
Yeah.
The Jews had gotten to a point, this is my last point, they had gotten so entrenched in the law, they felt like they could do whatever they wanted to do. And since they had the law, when Jesus came in, they told Jesus, "We don't even need you."
Yeah.
We're Abraham's sons.
Yes.
Nothing's going to happen to us. We can get so entrenched in our own minds because I'm saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, and I am. And I've been in this for a while, and I have. And I don't go to the bars and the clubs, and I don't. And I live holy every day, and I do. And we think to ourselves, buddy, I am in there.
Yeah.
And you can still be stubborn.
Yes.
You can still be contentious. You argue. You won't listen. You're obstinate. You won't forgive. You want to see wrath. You want vengeance. And the list goes on and on of things that keep you from being anything near where the Holy Ghost would have you to be.
Amen.
And then you wonder why you don't have a move of the Spirit.
Amen. Yeah.
And then among those in whom the Spirit, and in large gatherings, there are so many people that have a need in gatherings until the Lord, because of His grace and His mercy, will move among the people because God is good. This is what you learn when you see Moses at the rock. Moses is angry because God is going to give water to them at the rock because they're so disobedient. And God is saying, I know they're disobedient, but they need to be blessed.
Yeah.
But we don't get it. We're blessed a lot. We're healed a lot. When we're wrong, God heals us sometimes. I'm not taking away somebody. Well, you're blessed in the Holy Ghost. You're saying it ain't the Holy Ghost. No, that's exactly what I'm not saying. It is the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yes.
It is the Holy Ghost who's doing the healing.
Yes.
That's the whole point. It is God. Yes. It is God's grace. It is God. It is the Holy Ghost who did doing the healing.
Yes.
Who's not doing the healing is the person who you keep saying is the healer.
Amen. Yes.
It is the Spirit who's doing the healing.
Yes.
And the grace and mercy of God is such that God will heal and deliver even sometimes when we're not right.
Amen. Yeah.
And has done it many, many times. So to say, well, you can't say you're not right because God has done it so many times. I'll tell you this and I'll leave you alone. If you read over in I think it's Numbers. Yes, Numbers. After Nadab and Abihu fall, who is Aaron's sons, his two younger sons take over, Eleazar and Ithamar. And Aaron, at this particular time that Nadab and Abihu fall, he's in the middle of his service to the temple, so he can't leave and go bury them. Mm. Because they can't touch a dead body because they'll be unclean by the law.
Yes.
And so since Nadab and Abihu have mixed strange fire being drunk and God has struck them down, now Ithamar and Eleazar, their younger brothers, have to take over and do the sacrifices and offerings. And they, when they part the sacrifices, chop them up, do whatever it's going to do to them, they don't collect the blood and sprinkle it on the altar and do all the things. They pour it out.
Yeah.
These are the little brothers. They don't know any better, and they're really going through. And Moses comes and says, Aaron, look what they've done. And Aaron tells Moses, Moses, this has been a hard day. He says, this has really been a difficult time. You know, I just lost two sons and things are really hard. And God forgave him.
Yeah.
And not only did he forgive him, but the fire came from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, even though they had not done things like they were supposed to. Hezekiah does the same thing. When he calls a revival, they all come. He asks God, he says, Lord, bless every one of them, even though they haven't come in like they're supposed to. But since they're here, bless them anyway, and the Lord heard them and did it.
Yeah.
So we need to come out of this thing that when God moves, and it's not, I'm not saying that God doesn't do miracles to show that it's His word, His servant, and that it's what He wants done to His people. All of that is very true. But it doesn't make the servant perfect.
Yes.
That's my point.
Yes.
That God is able to use. I wish every time I prayed for somebody that were healed, I would have become perfect. Wouldn't it have been nice?
Yes, yes.
Don't you wish that every time somebody prayed for somebody, they became perfect? Wouldn't it be nice?
Nice, yes.
Pray for one person and the prayer comes through and all of a sudden you're spiritually perfect. Wouldn't that be great? But it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way.
Every one of us has to submit to God just like everyone else. Everyone else has to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us just like everyone else.
Yes.
Every one of us has to pray and worship and allow the Lord to work changes in us and in our minds,
yes,
just like everyone else. And then when we get to the point where God is using us, we have to avoid becoming exalted and trying to make the people think there's more to us than there is. And you'll keep on growing.
Amen.
And you'll keep on growing. And he says in this last line down here, submitting yourselves one to another in fear of God. This is one of the biggest ways. This is, Bishop Smith, what's one of the biggest things that you look at when you decide whether people have the Holy Ghost or not? I look at how much they respect one another.
Yeah.
I don't care how much you preach. I don't care how deep you sing. I don't care how loud you pray. I don't care how long you speak in tongues. I don't care what you do. When you have the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, you learn to respect other people.
Amen. Yes.
And when you have no respect or no regard for other people, I'm not saying you're not saved, but you're not as strong spiritually as you claim you are.
Amen.
Because God is no respecter of persons. What does that mean? Well, you know, God likes some people, don't like others. No, God gives every person the same opportunity. That they don't come to God is them.
Yeah, amen.
That they're not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's
amen.
Them.
That's
But God gives, when Christ, Jesus, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance.
Yes.
God is no respecter of persons. That people are enemies of God, it is their choice, not God's.
Amen.
So when you have the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, one of the things I look at, when you say, well, how spiritual is so-and-so? I look to see if they're mean. That's number one. I don't care how saved you are. Holy Ghost-filled people are not mean. I'll say it again. Holy Ghost-filled people, when they grow in the Spirit, they stop being mean.
Amen.
Because the Holy Ghost is kind and gentle. I look to see if they're mean. I don't care who they are. I don't care what the title is. If they're mean, if they're short, if they're curt, if they're nasty, if they're not nice with people, if they're not fair, I'm not saying they're not saved, and I'm not saying God don't use them, but I'm saying they have a long ways to go in the Spirit.
Amen.
Yes, I am.
Amen. That's right.
Have no respect for anybody but themselves. Choose people that they respect, and choose people that they don't respect.
Yes.
The Bible talks about it. He says in one place, and he talks about it, Jesus talked about it, and also James doesn't. The person who walks in here, they're dressed really nice, you really love, and the one who comes in here and they're not dressed so well, you want to say, put them to the side. That's not God.
That's not God. Amen.
That is not the Lord. That's why Jesus didn't come as a king. That's why he didn't come in royal apparel. I listen to people talk all the time about people's dress and whatever it is. Haven't you ever read what John the Baptist had on? And Jesus says there was no prophet ever in history greater than John the Baptist.
Right.
And when they asked him, Jesus asked him, he said, what did you go out to see when you went to see John the Baptist? Did you go to see someone draped in royal apparel? He said, they live in king's house. That's not who John is.
Yeah. Yes.
Since John is a great prophet. And we do this all the time without thinking about it. We don't even think about it.
Yeah. He's used to doing it.
Doesn't even occur to us. But we're deep, though. But you got to allow the Holy Ghost to work and work in you. Praise the Lord. Everybody stand. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Well, all I can say is Lee, she had to go to work today. So I was glad she came over and did devotion for us, but then she had to leave. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you for the people of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost. Wash us, renew us, and refresh us in the Spirit. And Lord, I pray, Lord, give us a heart and a mind to allow the Spirit to come in and rule in us. Lord, strengthen us with might by your Spirit in the inner man, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, fill us to the point, Lord, that we would have not just some of the gifts of the Spirit, but, Lord, that we would have all of them. And Lord, that we would have not some of the fruit of the Spirit, oh God, but we would have all of the fruit of the Spirit. And we would have the kindness and the patience, Lord, and gentleness that the Holy Ghost gives, oh God. Lord, that we would dwell in righteousness and peace and joy, Lord, and Lord, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would work through us. Lord, I pray, draw us nigh unto thee, O God. Let the Holy Ghost flood and fill our souls, Lord, our soul life.
Yes.
Lord, our affections and our desires, oh God, that we would, Lord, we would have respect one for another, oh God, and be subject one to another, oh God. Lord, for all of us, Lord, who have this little mean streak in us, Lord, deliver. Lord, deliver, oh God. Lord, let us not go through life, Lord, being mean and unruly, oh God, because that is not the will of the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, deliver. For all the people, Lord, that are hurt by other people's meanness, Lord, I pray, Lord, raise them up and lift them up, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, for all the people who have this little vengeance streak in them, Lord, get even with everybody. Lord, deliver them. In Jesus' name. For all the people who can't get past their past customs and past traditions, Lord, deliver them. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, all the people who think they know, and they always say, I know, Lord, deliver them in Jesus' name. Lord, break every yoke. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, give every one of us a mind to say, Lord, move in me. Break every yoke. Loose every, undo every heavy burden. Loose every band of wickedness. Lord, allow the Holy Ghost to come in and affect me, O God. Lord, let your Spirit come in and affect the people. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Lord, heal the sick today. Stretch forth thy hand now, O God. Lord, and drive out every sickness and disease and let it not return. Touch L.T. Angela Rogers. Lord, that she be loose from her infirmity, Lord, and let it not come back. In Jesus' name. Lift her up now, O God. Lord, do for her as you did for Mary. Heal her now, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for the blessing for Prince of Peace, O God. Lord, we thank you for the people that are blessing them with that air conditioner. Lord, we thank you.
Thank you.
Lord, we pray, Lord, that they would receive of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and be saved until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, that they would give him glory and honor. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Bless every one of us.
Yes.
Keep us in Jesus' name. Lord, let every heart be lightened, O Lord. Let the word of God go deep in us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you to bless this church and add souls to it, Lord. That we be filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, names written on high.
Yes.
Lord, that they would be brought into the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, they would receive you as their Lord, receive you as their Savior in the name of Jesus. Amen. Believe on his powerful death and resurrection and ascension and ascendance and sending of the Holy Ghost. Lord, fill people with the Holy Ghost. Draw them now, God. They would hear the word of God and be saved.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we'll give you all the honor and all the praise in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your goodness and thank you for your mercy. It's good to see all of you today. And I thank you, Lord.